Every Sunday morning, the worship coordinator, as Meg did this morning, begins our service with, "We are a welcoming congregation of the Unitarian Universalist Association." This morning, Reverend Wendy and I are going to share with you our thoughts and experiences of what that means. In 1989, the delegates of the Unitarian Universalist Association's General Assembly adopted 11 commitments as the outline for the Welcoming Congregation program. The commitments are offered as a suggestive roadmap for UU congregations towards becoming truly inclusive and welcoming of people of all sexual orientations and gender identities. I will not read to you all 11 of the commitments, but I think that the first one kind of sums up the rest. A welcoming congregation is inclusive and expressive of the concerns of people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and/or queer at every level of congregational life, in worship, in programs, and in social occasions, welcoming not only their presence, but the unique gifts and particularities of their lives as well. Our church began its journey towards becoming a welcoming congregation in 2002. A welcoming committee was established to lead the congregation over 2 years in a variety of worship services, workshops, films, and discussion groups to educate our members about LGBTQ history, life, and culture. Also, to practice what it means to be a truly inclusive congregation, beginning with a sensitivity towards language. Our annual Rainbow Sunday was created through this process. Many thanks to Janet Lemke, John Slavin, Gare Reed, Wilbur Edwards, and Reverend Deborah Kerr for bravely leading this congregation through this welcoming process. In early 2004, our church completed UUA's certification process for becoming a welcoming congregation. The timing could not have been more perfect because the Massachusetts Supreme Court authorized marriage equality to begin that May. Massachusetts would become the first state in the United States to legalize marriages for same-sex couples. As a welcoming congregation, our church was ready to welcome those same-sex couples who wished to legally marry here. And over the next several years, we were very strong advocates for spreading marriage equality throughout the country, until ultimately the United States Supreme Court made it so. Today, UUA reports that over 800 Unitarian Universalist congregations are currently approved as welcoming congregations. And UUA wishes to be bolder with our welcome. Transgender youths are still struggling to find community at UU congregations. Bisexual UUs suffer from invisibility, while asexual, intersex, and polyamorous communities are wrestling with a progressive faith that does not privilege their truth. These and the many more social ills that plague our LGBTQ plus communities are calling UUs into a deeper commitment to ensure that our UU congregations are living into the welcome that we boldly proclaim. As such, UUA has introduced an updated annual renewal process for welcoming congregations. Over the next year, our Social Justice Committee will be leading us through this new process, so stay tuned for more to come. Now, I would like to share with you, Liz, and my personal story of what it means to be a welcoming congregation. Liz and I met in 1991 following a worship service at the Metropolitan Community Church of Austin, Texas. Metropolitan Community Churches are a Christian-based denomination formed for the purpose of helping LGBTQ people and straight but not narrow members heal from the lack of acceptance and abuse inflicted on them by the churches of their childhoods. Liz and I both remember the moment that we met. Over the next year, we began to learn about each other and develop a friendship through the services, activities, and retreats of the church. We began dating exclusively, and 2 years later, we stood in front of that congregation and shared vows of commitment to one another. So from the beginning of our relationship together, Liz and I knew that being members of a spiritual community was important to both of us. But it had to be a spiritual community that accepted us as we were and that honored our relationship. Liz grew up Catholic, and I was a Methodist preacher's kid. Neither one of those denominations accepted us as lesbians, nor our relationship. Sadly, neither one does today as well. Fast forward 7 years, and the organization that I worked for transferred us to Massachusetts. After a whirlwind move from Texas and months of settling into our new lives here in New England, Liz and I were ready in early 2004 to find a new spiritual community. But where would we start? We knew that Unitarian Universalists tend to be gay-friendly, but the UU church in the town that we lived in at that time did not have outwardly visible signs that it would welcome us. We were skeptical about trying it. Then we saw an article on the front page of the Boston Globe about a UU church on the South Shore that was preparing for a series of same-sex weddings that May, as soon as it became legal. We visited that church about 5 times, but after each visit, we felt more and more disappointed. The services were nice, but coffee hour felt rather lonely. It was almost like the members expected the lesbian members to welcome the new lesbian visitors. It just didn't feel comfortable. One Saturday in April 2004, Liz and I were driving through Sharon doing some errands. As we sat at the light out there in the corner, we saw the rainbow flag. Liz asked, "Do you think that means what we think it means?" "Shall we try it?" The next morning, we sat here in the congregation. We were mesmerized by Mel's music. We were moved by Reverend Kerr's message. And during coffee hour, many of you and Reverend Kerr made us feel very welcome. We kept coming back. We made new friends. I joined the welcoming committee, and I actually helped with that year's rainbow service. And Reverend Kerr legally married us out there in the Memorial Garden. So the timing of this congregation becoming a welcoming congregation was perfect for us, too. Thank you.
I was so honored when Mia asked me to stand up here with her and share a few words. I got to be one of you sitting out there last year at the Rainbow Service, and it was such a wonderful experience. I expected to do that again this year, but Mia was very gracious in inviting me to share some of my experiences as well. So I moved to Massachusetts in 1993 to go to Harvard Divinity School in Cambridge. And to be honest, I was never at that time entirely sure what I was doing there. I had felt a call to the ministry, yes, but I was still at the time a United Methodist, and I had just that summer come out as a lesbian, and so I had this dilemma. In 1993, the United Methodist did not ordain those whom they called, and I quote, self-identified, or self-avowed practicing homosexuals. For the record, as Mia said, they still don't. which is obviously a shame. But at the time that I arrived to Harvard, I think I was pretty optimistic and somewhat naive, and I had some small hope that someday in the future they might. And so some of the questions that I was wrestling with back in 1993-94 included, should I stay and be closeted and try to serve God and God's people? Should I stay and try to fight this thing? Or should I simply go? Although back in 1993, I wasn't sure where I should go. I learned about Unitarian Universalism from a friend later that year, but when I first arrived in Massachusetts, I knew nothing about it, despite having grown up in the Washington metropolitan area, where it turns out there are a fair number of significantly sized, healthy congregations. In those days, Unitarian Universalists weren't very evangelical about their faith. For the record, you still aren't. Which is also a shame. So thank goodness this particular friend that I met in Divinity School was evangelical about her faith and willing to share the good news of Unitarian Universalism with me. And she introduced me to UUism by showing me the seven principles, which I very much liked. And then she took me to church, and I liked it there. It was the first church Unitarian Universalist in Jamaica Plain, a big old stone building with stained glass windows and a cross up front. It was definitely a UU church, but there was a little bit of a Christian feel. The minister was lovely and kind and very welcoming of everyone. There were gay men and lesbians, highly respected persons, in the choir and helping to lead worship and in prominent leadership roles. And I was hooked. My fate was sealed. I became a Unitarian Universalist in the fall of 1994 by joining that church. 7 years later, after completing Divinity School and an internship and clinical pastoral education and all of that, and after having served for 15 months as the interim minister in Rockport, Massachusetts, I accepted a call to become the settled minister at the UU Church in the town of Harvard. I was, by the way, only 32 years old at that time, so for those of you who might be concerned about the age of your incoming minister, it's okay. I still remember during that search process asking the search committee if they thought that people in the congregation might take issue with having a lesbian minister, a woman married to or in a committed relationship with another woman. Even after that many years as a UU, I still doubted that it was possible to be part of a UU congregation and to be a leader and be welcomed. And I still remember their response, fully assured that no, it would not be a problem, that there were other gay and lesbian people in the congregation, even in rural Harvard, and one of them was a much beloved third grade teacher in the town's elementary school. And they were right. My sexuality was never an issue during my 14 years there. My wife and I, and later our daughter, were fully welcomed and embraced by the community, which formally became a welcoming congregation not long after we arrived, which would have been around the time that this congregation was doing that work as well. All in all, I have to say I've had a very positive experience as a Unitarian Universalist. I am fortunate. From the first, I have felt welcome in our congregations. I have felt welcome in the denomination and denominational leadership, and while working at the headquarters, which I did for a time in the 90s. In fact, I feel almost like I've been living in a bubble of welcome for the last 25 years. As a side note, it has been easier overall to be a lesbian UU than a Christian UU. That's a whole nother sermon. Meanwhile, the United Methodists have continued to struggle mightily these last 25 years. The language in their Book of Discipline still is the same. It is still against church law to ordain self-avowed practicing homosexuals. The good news is that in this country there are now more LGBTQ+ Methodists and many, many more straight Methodist allies fighting alongside them. The challenge is that the United Methodist Church is a global church, and the most conservative voices right now are coming from other parts of the world outside of the US. And so they continue to debate. This past February, a special general conference adopted what has become known as the traditionalist plan. And in April, a judiciary body upheld pieces of it, which means that not only is it still against the law to ordain, and I'll say it again, self-avowed practicing homosexuals, because the language still, I don't know. It's also illegal to conduct same-sex weddings in the church, but now those laws are going to be more regularly enforced as a result of these rulings, and churches and conferences that support LGBTQ+ rights have been invited to exit gracefully. When I look at what has happened these last 25 years in the church of my childhood, of course my heart is broken. But I am also especially grateful that I found Unitarian Universalism when I did, and that I've been able to spend the last quarter century ministering within Unitarian Universalism. I grieve for my United Methodist friends and colleagues who have stayed and fought and whose hearts are really broken right now. It would be easy as a UU to feel a little bit self-righteous about all of that from over here. But I don't, because I know that for these past 25 years that I've lived in what I call a bubble of welcome, my UU friends who are transgender have not. I've watched them struggle mightily to be fully welcomed and embraced and included within our congregations and our association that whole time that I have been welcomed. And I've reflected on that a lot, about my privilege as a cisgendered Unitarian Universalist, and that has helped me, I think, also to see and acknowledge my privilege as a white UU, because you know my colleagues of color have also been struggling mightily to be fully welcomed and accepted in our congregations and our association during this time. I am delighted that the UUA has decided to expand its understanding of welcoming congregations and this program to require that congregations that want to maintain their status as certified welcoming congregations will now be required to go through an annual renewal process. No longer can we be certified once and check it off and consider ourselves done with the work, claiming to be welcoming. Now we will, need to continue to do the work year after year, to educate ourselves, to stretch ourselves, to celebrate LGBTQ persons, including, and here are some more letters, TGQNB, transgendered, genderqueer, non-binary persons, and to advocate for all of us, for our rights, and for our full inclusion. My perpetual worry as a UU for all of these years has been that we who have found a home here, we who, for whatever reason, whether it be a matter of identity or theology or whatever, we who have been felt welcome here, my worry has been that we would not do the work necessary to keep the door open wide for the people who will come after us. We cannot say to ourselves, well, now I've found a place where I can be myself, but gosh, it's getting a little crowded in here, and I really like it the way it is, and I don't want to change, so maybe we should shut that door a little bit. We can't do that, my friends. We have to keep that door open, because there are a lot of people out there with broken hearts who are being beaten up emotionally and spiritually, and sometimes even physically, and they are looking for communities of worship where they can bring their whole selves and be affirmed, and where they can discover meaningful opportunities to share their gifts and participate fully and be loved and accepted for who they are. We need to keep the doors open. We need to expand our bubbles of welcome. And we need to know that we will all be better and stronger for having done that work. Can I get an amen?